again, we are still joined in studio by Regina Doherty, MEP for Dublin, Fine Gael EPP, and Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, Michael McNamara, Independent MEP for Ireland South, affiliated with the Renew Group in the European Parliament, Billy Keller, who's also in the Renew Group, is MEP for Ireland South and a member of Fianna Fáil, and Sinn Féin's Lynn Boylan, MEP for Dublin and with the GUA NGL Group. Is that still the name of the group?
No, it's the Left.
It's the Left Group. Okay, thank you very much for that clarification. Now, the EU Foreign Policy Chief, Kaya Kallas, said that she may have to return to improve her golf game if she's going to engage in bilateral diplomacy with Donald Trump. The golf course might be a suitable venue there. Perhaps Michael McNamara, Doon Beg might be a good venue for that. But the other thing she said was that victory for Ukraine is still the ultimate aim of the European Union and expected Europe to play a pretty active part in that. Lynn Boylan, what do you think? How do you think that will look, and do you support that sentiment?
Well, I think the issue is where Ireland's position. I mean, we are absolutely 100% supportive of Ukraine and have condemned Putin's actions in terms of the illegal war that he's carrying out. But it's about Ireland's neutrality also being protected within the context of the European Union. And that's really, really important. That's the mandate I was elected on, that we will defend our neutrality. So that's not throwing your lot in with a single common defence policy. What we do want to see in Ireland, certainly from Sinn Féin's perspective, is investment in our own defence capabilities, but absolutely enshrining air neutrality, and that should be respected at an EU level as well.
Okay. And do you agree with the government distinction between the possibility of being politically non-neutral and supporting Ukraine whilst at the same time maintaining the integrity of military neutrality? Do you think that's possible?
Well, I think you can be military neutrality. We know the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have tried to chip away at our neutrality year after year in successive governments. They're trying to do it now with the removal of the triple lock. What we want to see is an enshrining of our neutrality in the constitution, and we want to see official recognition for it at an EU level. You can use your diplomacy and use your skills, a small country like our own, to much greater effect by aligning ourselves, and this goes to Palestine as well, aligning ourselves with other countries on the world stage in terms of diplomacy and international dialogue, and being recognised as honest brokers when it comes to dialogue. There is nothing to gain for Ireland in throwing our lot in the European Common Defence Policy. Nothing at all to gain.
Regina Doherty, the situation in Ukraine is pretty grim. There was media reports of large numbers of troops deserting whilst on training, and also deserting at the front. The progress of the Russian advance in eastern Ukraine is hardly an encouraging sign for people who are to sign up to the Ukrainian army, and they're already struggling with recruitment. What kind of support do you think Europe should be providing to Ukraine, and to what end?
I think their morale must be at an absolutely all-time low, and not just given because of the longevity of the war and the time of the year that it is, happens to be winter and very cold for them. It's the onset of a Trump administration and the impact that that most likely is going to have. And I think there's a general consensus now growing that there will be peace talks, that there will be peace and there will be an outcome. But the outcome certainly won't be in Ukraine's favour. It'll be in Russia's favour, which means it certainly won't be in any of our favours. And I disagree with Lynn. First of all, I'm 17 years in the Oireachtas. I have never once tried to undermine Ireland's neutrality. I cherish it. I have children at home. I have no interest in sending them off to any, you know, concocted European army. But I absolutely agree that having a defence strategy on a European basis to protect us from maritime encroaching, to protect us from cybersecurity hacks, to protect us from all of that insidious crime, whether it's on the internet or whether it's overt or covert, there absolutely is
under
a benefit
Fine Gael,
for us having
can't
a defence union.
The naval ships, half of your naval ships I think, are actually okay, all right, well, docked.
The concept of actually
mount.
Having okay, a European defence union and our own defence are not mutually exclusive, but they're not the same thing. So let's not muddy the waters. Please. Okay, so in all the years that I've been a public representative, I've never sought to do that. But I absolutely see benefits in a defence union. I absolutely see benefits in cooperating to make sure that we protect our borders and that we protect our citizens from those overt and covert attacks from China, from Russia, and potentially from other parts of the world that we don't even know about yet.
OK, I'm Michael McNamara. But do you believe that the European Union should be supporting Ukraine? And if so, what's an appropriate form of assistance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should support Ukraine diplomatically. I should support Ukraine in the way it's supporting it now. I don't believe in military intervention. I know that some member states have spoken about a military intervention. I think that would be...
you mean of a boots on the ground variety as opposed to providing Ukraine with arms?
Or I mean, there have been discussion of boots on the ground by some member states. They haven't gone there. I think I'm glad that they haven't gone there. I think it would escalate it. Look, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt talked about foreign policy and said, you know, talk softly but carry a big stick. Now, Ireland in particular has done exactly the opposite. I mean, we have become increasingly bellicose in our language while not completely underfunding our defence forces. But that's true, I think, across the European Union as a whole. I mean, militarily, the European Union is I would have thought, very weak and probably incapable of defending itself, much less mounting an offensive. At the same time, as the European Union is becoming increasingly bellicose on a world stage and picking fights with Russia, China, just about everybody else. I mean, I do think that peace in Ukraine would be beneficial to Europe and to Ukraine, because we were also talking, the United States is putting pressure on to lower the draft age in Ukraine to 18. So, I mean, you're looking at people, you know, 18-year-olds being sent to be slaughtered instead of 26-year-olds.
Okay, but Billy Keller, your view on this, what Michael McNamara is saying there, it's peace and peace early.
Well, we'd all like to see peace, but the bottom line here is if you force Ukraine to surrender effectively, well, then you have strengthened Russia's hand. I mean, I'd like to see a situation where they do enter into dialogue, into discussions. The grave concern from a Ukrainian perspective, and look, I've visited five times since the war broke out. You know, I have colleagues, I suppose, that are members of the Ukrainian Parliament. I meet with them regularly in the European Parliament, and they are really, really concerned. Now, their morale is not at an all-time low because, I mean, let's be honest, they still retain most of their country. When the war started, Russia was going to take the entire country.
But they're sitting in Parliament. It's the morale of those on the front.
Look, the Irish Times, in fairness, has a view, but I'm just making the point. They are still involved in military activity on the front line. Okay, it's not as if there's mass surrenders.
I suppose, briefly, the question is that the morale only lasts as long as the capacity to defend itself.
To defend itself. So it has defended itself. But I think there should be peace discussions. But the idea that we would force Ukraine to make that decision rather than Ukraine making that decision themselves. They are a democratic country. They have a president. They have a parliament. And it is them, along with the people, should be making the decisions around their future, not us sitting here in Montrose or anywhere else. And I'm taking lectures here from Len, being honest, about neutrality. Nice. Well, you accuse me of basically selling out neutrality. I didn't sell out neutrality. My party didn't sell out neutrality. The change of the triple lock is to ensure that Donald Trump and Putin and others don't have say over what we do with Irish troops.
Okay, Lynn Boylan, you want to respond to that?
No, I just, look, we know, we've seen what the last Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael parties have been asked around neutrality. You absolutely have. You had your forum and you didn't get the outcome. You had the dialogue and you underestimated the support, the popularity on the ground among the public for our neutrality.
The last election,
Brian Hayes, when he was an MEP, produced a document going beyond neutrality
in the last
Ireland.
Election.
So there's
the last election, I looked at it, we got 48 seats in the last election.
It's somehow naive to defend neutrality.
But Fianna Fáil got 48 seats in the last
Ireland
election.
Ireland should be proud of its position.
We are proud of our position of neutrality. And that means that we shouldn't be allowing Putin, Donald Trump, or anybody who sits in the Permanent Security Council to decide what we do with Irish troops. That should be a matter for the Dáil,
the people I vote for, and the triple lock was given to the Irish people in order for them to vote in favour of referendums.
I think if we were proud of our defence forces, we'd invest in them to the level required, and it's nowhere near that. And there's a lot of lip service being played, but they're consistently being
I have to thank everybody who was involved in the programme, so pray silence for those that put the hard work in for today. Sean Maron was the broadcast coordinator. Research was by Eimear McCauley. Niall McMonagall was on sound. And the programme was produced by Ronan Coveney and Kieran O'Byrne. Up here next on RTE Radio 1 is Saturday Sport.